Greetings. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and this is the 22nd episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Prophecy of Doom, original air date October 6th, 1992. So we get our title picture, and it is a solar-lunar eclipse. Yeah, I'm going to have to apologize. I don't know the differences between those, but the drawing looks pretty cool. We start off with a cruise ship where many people are gambling and seem to just be having lots of fun. We go to the bottom of the boat somewhere in the hall where a bomb has been placed. The bomb explodes, and the ship starts sinking like the Titanic. And remember, this is 1992, so we still haven't had our 1997 James Cameron flick Titanic, but the sinking actually seems very reminiscent of that. Let me fix my mic here a bit. I think I might be coming in a bit too loud. Okay. So, everyone is rushing to lifeboats as the ship goes down. We cut to a fancy restaurant where Bruce Wayne is having dinner with an older man and a young blonde woman. The older man hands Bruce a pamphlet about some guy named Nostromus, who can tell the future. And Nostromus just looks like a poor man's Ra's al Ghul from the picture that we see here. The older man says that Nostromus told him not to go on the gambling cruise, and then 2 days later, guess what, the boat sank. The man's daughter, who we find out is named Lisa, seems agitated and angry, saying that it was only a coincidence that the boat sank when it did. The older man then points out other disasters Nostromus has predicted, such as the cave-in of the Zanza forest and an oil rig fire, like, somewhere off the coast. So, huh, that's weird. So the man is having a party for Nostromus, and he wants Bruce to attend. We cut to the outside of the restaurant where Bruce and Lisa are leaving, and Lisa is very suspicious of Nostromus and thinks that he is causing all the disasters himself. Bruce cocks an eyebrow as if he is now suspicious himself, and you know what? Why wouldn't he have been from the beginning? From the moment that the old man mentioned that this guy's predicting disasters and then they happen, I would have probably thought that, yeah, he had something to do with it. Lisa mentions that her dad is even part of some cult, and you won't even, like, tell her or any of the family about it. So, we cut to the party the next day, and we finally see Nostromus, like, in full body. And as I mentioned, he's like a low-rent Ra's al Ghul with a purple robe. Nostromus is spewing out some nonsense about stars aligning and other such spiritual crud, but Bruce is acting like a jerk. Nostromus predicts that someone present is in great danger, and he points to Bruce Wayne. And then the glass that Bruce is holding shatters in his hand, like completely just explodes in Bruce Wayne's hands. So now that his hand is cut into ribbons, and there's blood everywhere, we should probably take him to the hospital. Oh, wait. Nothing happens? Since the sensors won't allow blood, the glass just shatters, and that's it. Bruce gets angry, and Nostromus, who is now revealed to be a bug-eyed alien. Oh, wait. It's just the badly drawn animation. Sorry about that. Well, he just stares at Bruce with a smirk. Batman is now talking to Alfred in the Batcave, and he says to... Well, Alfred says, he wonders how it was that that glass exploded in Bruce Wayne's hands. And Batman, if we finally get some sarcasm out of him, goes, "It was eerie outside force," says Alfred. And then he says, "No, I predict there was some sort of sonic device which made the glass shatter." Batman does mention that he lifted Nostromus' fingerprints at the party. And he found out that Nostromus is just some guy named Carl Fowler, who was arrested for fraud and petty crimes. And he has an accomplice named Lucas, who is an ex-special effects guy, also arrested on fraud. So we're at Wayne Enterprises, where Bruce Wayne gets in an elevator to go to his office. Exposition security guard walks up and tells Bruce that his personal elevator is working fine now, because he just saw the repairman leave. So Bruce mentions he didn't know anything was wrong with it. So, okay. From this point on, for the rest of the series, for the rest of this podcast, I will refer to any character whose only purpose is to dish out exposition as exposition waitress. Now to explain, exposition is when we get dialogue that only serves to let us, the audience watching, know things that characters either already know, or just to give us information, just to remind us, give us information on the setting of the scene or characters. I mean, think of it this way. If we saw the elevator scene, and Bruce just walked into the elevator, and then something went wrong, we wouldn't know why, or like, what's happening. Like, he just went in, and the elevator went wrong. Did somebody, like, purposefully do this? Is it just really electrical malfunction? We wouldn't know. But now that the security guard went up to us and told us he just saw somebody leave, that we are suspicious this is something that was purposefully done. I mean, another scenario is just think, like, imagine you were handed a piece of paper or a pamphlet or something before you started watching this episode. And when this scene came up, you had to look at your paper, and the paper said, a repairman has just left Bruce Wayne's personal elevator before Bruce Wayne arrives. Well, the security guard in this scene serves the same purpose as that piece of paper. But anyway, I digress. Bruce takes the elevator to the top floor when he sees somebody toss... I'm sorry, he doesn't see it. We see it. We see somebody toss a wrench into the elevator gears. Then someone pours acid on the elevator wires, causing them to slowly disintegrate. The wires snap, but Bruce is now Batman, and he grapples out of the elevator shaft. He sees the damage repaired... He sees the damaged gears and chases somebody running away. Batman beats up this masked criminal but gets a pipe to the face. And then the guy runs away, and Batman throws a batarang that straight out lodges itself on this dude's leg. Like, sensors won't allow blood, but even still, this just looks painful. Just imagine a steak knife lodged on the back of your knee. So the guy throws a vial of acid on some pipes instead of at Batman, and causes steam just to, like, cause this curtain of mist, and it's enough for him to get away. So the guy, I think, is actually a predator, because he just manages to disappear somehow. We cut to Lucas bandaging his leg at Nostromus's dressing room, I guess, and Nostromus chastises him about letting Bruce Wayne live. We see that Nostromus is nothing but a bald old man who uses a wig and makeup to give his, like, seer look. I don't know what you call this guy. Profiteer? Planeteer? I don't know. So he is angry because he feels Bruce Wayne's death would have made all the other people in the cult panic and give him all their money. At that moment, he receives a call from Lisa's dad, who we still haven't found out his name. Like, not even the last name. He calls Nostromus to tell him that Bruce Wayne wants to join the Brotherhood. We cut to Bruce pretending to be so shaken up by the near-death experience that he saw the light and wants to join the Brotherhood, as they call it. Lisa walks in at that moment, and she is super angry. She calls them all creeps and leaves. And wait, Lucas is there. Like, why the hell is Lucas there? Like, if you're having him go out and commit crimes for you, why would you run the risk of anyone even thinking he's associated with you? But whatever. I'm sure that's not going to have anything to do with it later. Nostromus says that Lisa will believe after the great fall. So on a car ride, Mr. Lisa's dad tells Bruce that the great fall is an economic collapse that Nostromus has predicted. So for this reason, all the rich people have pooled their money into a super fund. But Nostromus can't touch that money without Mr. Lisa's dad written approval. So we're at some sort of planetarium, like an observatory that has, like, giant model planets on the ceiling. Like, it looks pretty cool, I guess. Lisa sneaks into the building, and she finds Lucas in a control room making all of Nostromus' special effects happen. So meanwhile, in the other room, Nostromus is flying, like, around the room, literally flying, and showing footage of, like, riots that are going to happen to scare the members of the cult. He then collapses and tells all the members that the Great Collapse is going to happen very soon, so by tomorrow they need to transfer all of their funds into the super fund. So Lisa is about to walk into the room and expose Nostromus, but she is caught by Lucas. In the Batcave, Batman explains that he had to donate $10 million just to keep up appearances. And we find out, finally, that Lisa's dad is named Ethan Clark. So, thanks, writers. We only get it at the end of the second act. So, yeah, good job. So, Ethan Clark arrives at the planetarium to see Nostromus. And Nostromus is caught off guard, but he does manage to put on his wig. And then he kicks Lucas out of the room. Why? He was already at the meeting with Bruce Wayne and Ethan Clark. So I'm sure Ethan Clark knows Lucas is like Nostromus' assistant or friend or something. Like, what's the point of having him rush out of there? Anyway, Ethan Clark is worried because he can't find Lisa. And Nostromus starts flying again. And then he says that they must use the funds to buy gold. And he wants Ethan Clark to sign the papers giving him full control of the funds. But Ethan Clark doesn't want to because he wants to notify the other members first. And then this just turns really dumb and silly. Nostromus, using a line from Creedence Clearwater Revival, for some reason, he then says,
I see a bad moon rising. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today. Don't go around tonight. Well, it's bound to take your life. There's a bad moon on the rise.
Sorry, he doesn't actually say all that. He just says, I see a bad moon rising. And then he shows Ethan Clark that Lisa is tied up to the planet Mars. On those giant floating planets I mentioned earlier. Then, why the bad moon rising line? Like, this isn't even a moon, it's Mars, clearly. Anyways, Ethan Clark signs the papers and then he gets hogtied by Lucas. Nostromus explains that Lucas has set up explosives to bring the building down. Remember that. He says, Lucas has set up enough explosives to turn this place into a supernova. That's the exact line he says. Everybody, please remember that. Nostromus then all of a sudden just starts flying all over the building out of control. And we see that Batman is in the control room jerking Nostromus around. Nostromus and Lucas climb to the top of the rafters and start looking for Batman, but he's gone. And then Batman turns on some very bright spotlights and he fights Lucas, who, apart from being a special effects guy, must also be a trained ninja, as I'm sure all special effects guys are known to be. Because he manages to give Batman a fight, even in the blinding lights. Remember, last week, that was Batman's strategy. He blinded Killer Croc, and he managed to take out like a 7-foot-tall alligator man made of muscle because he blinded him. But now, a regular, like, young, I mean, he's muscular. Like, I'll give him that, but he's no Killer Croc. But he manages to actually stay in the fight with Batman. Nostromus runs to the control room and he makes the planet start spinning really fast. And he then uses a wrench to break the controls. So the planets start spinning out of control and like crashing into each other as Lisa barely manages to avoid getting crushed. Batman throws Lucas off the rafters in an attempt to kill him. And I say that because there is no way Lucas would have survived. And Batman made zero effort to even try and rescue him. But Lucas manages to grab Batman's cape and they both fall through one of the planets. Batman then throws Lucas into and through another planet. Nostromus tries to grab the paperwork for the funds and run away, but Batman breaks the wire on the planet Earth. Well, he doesn't really break it, he just pulls out a pin. And the planet Earth just flies off into a ramp, which is where Nostromus happens to be running. And the Earth rolls like the boulder in Indiana Jones, and it crushes Nostromus. So Lisa is about to get crushed, but Batman rushes in and he saves her at the last minute. Now, finally, all the gears on the planets give in. They all stop. And, wait, didn't Lucas set up bombs? Remember? He set up enough bombs to turn this place into a supernova. No one ever takes care of those. They're never brought up again. Anyways, we're back at home. And Ethan Clark, Lisa Clark, and Bruce Wayne are talking about being gullible for this cult. Then Bruce Wayne gives some spiritual prophecy crud about our stars are in the moons that are badly rising or something. The end. Alright, some after show notes. The animation was done by Acom Studios. They are responsible for some of the less impressive animation done on this show. And the animation isn't bad here, but it's nothing impressive. And with just the very bland writing, it makes this episode one of the most forgettable episodes on this series ever. The villain Nostromos was created for the series. He doesn't have any comic book origins that I am aware of. And of course his name is just to play on Nostradamus, you know, the guy who wrote down those prophecies that every conspiracy nut uses whenever some tragedy happens. The voice of the other bad guy of Lucas was done by the same guy who voiced Killer Croc last episode. And that's it. I mean, this episode is pretty bland, so that's really all I have to say about the after show notes. Nothing really interesting here. So let's move on to a brand new segment on the show.
But Batman
is a new segment that I'm doing where I point out some of the errors or just downright confusing things with the reviewed episodes, some plot holes, what have you. I mean, I already would do this in previous episodes, but it was kind of just bundled up with the after show notes. Now, I love this show, Batman the Animated Series. I mentioned my love for it in the past, so I'm not going to go over that. But I do think that they do a lot of things that need to be pointed out. Because, I mean, when you love something, you love its flaws as well as the things it does correctly. And just loving something blindly seems wrong to me. I could see all the errors, but the good outweighs so much of the bad in this specific case. You know, I do want to point them out because just turning a blind eye to them, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, you have to point, you have to have the good, you have the bad, you mix it up, and then you have, you know, what I'm talking about. So, hey, you know, at the very least, it puts all of my my wine applesauce into one segment. So if you hate to hear me just be a complete wine apple, at least you can skip it. Alright, the animation in the very beginning of this episode is just really bad. I mean, like, lazy bad. I know that this was the same studio that animated the Feet of Clay Part 1, which was, as far as our Batcave archives goes, one of the worst episodes, especially in the animation terms, but this was just really bad. Like, I know the show uses time-saving animation tricks, and that's fine. You know, they have, like, still paintings with only certain elements animated. But this whole beginning is just ridiculous. It's the opening intro when everybody's gambling on the boat. And it looks like an episode of South Park. The water is a still painting with some white moving about it. Makes it look really bad. The ship is a still picture just that seems to be it just seems to be moved. It looks like an episode of South Park. I really can't explain it any other way. It looks like it's like it was animated using like stop motion, or if anybody remembers the old the Marvel superhero cartoons from the 1960s, where they would take like Jack Kirby drawings and they look like they were just animated by gluing them on popsicle sticks and moving them around. That's what that looks like. It's not good. The story and villain are really lame. I mean, this is something that Robin could have handled without Batman. This could have been a Robin episode. I mean, seriously. As we'll find out later, the studio has such a crush on Robin. They really do not want to let him, like, not even be a part of anything. They seriously want him in, like, every single episode as the series moves on. This could have been a Robin episode. These guys were so lame, Robin could have just done this himself with Batman just calling him in saying, like, I'm busy fighting Clayface or something. So, I mean, let me put it this way. My review could have been about 14 minutes shorter. It could have been. Bruce Wayne finds out his rich friends are being taken advantage of by a con man. And he lets it happen because they are idiots for believing in this guy. Or, Bruce Wayne finds out his friends are being taken advantage of by a con man who is causing disasters. Batman struggles with a young stagehand for a bit. And then he proceeds to beat an old man for 20 minutes. The end. Those are would have made good summaries, but sadly they had to draw this out. The dialogue and story are just very clunky. We have Lisa just spouting out random things that Bruce needs to know without any reason, really. So she's the exposition waitress for this episode. I mean, other than the exposition security guard. And you know, exposition waitress just serving up all the details on a platter. Nostradamus and Lucas, as I mentioned, they're just really lame villains. But the sad part is that they could have had potential. Lucas is an ex-special effects guy. So he's basically Mysterio from Spider-Man. Ex-special effects guy who turned to crime. He is Mysterio. So we could have had an episode where Nostradamus seems to actually be this like supernatural being. And Batman knows it's not true, but he can't explain how he's doing it. And like maybe they even have a scene where Batman faces Nostradamus, but Nostradamus manages to escape using like trickery or what have you. And Batman, he wants to know how he's doing it. And he eventually finds out that Nostradamus is getting help from this ex-special effects guy, Lucas. So this could have been a mix of Mysterio from Spider-Man and the Mandarin from the Iron Man 3 movie. Which, oh god, don't get me started on that. But yeah, what's his face? Gandhi, the guy who played Gandhi. Well, him as the Mandarin. And this other guy as Mysterio. And I think it would have been a really cool story. I mean, you could have even had Robin involved here, you know, other than my other theory of just having him be the star of the episode. You could have had Robin involved here, since Batman might need help taking out both guys, not because he can't do it, just because he can't be in two places at once. You know, Batman faces off against Nostradamus while Robin goes and finds where Lucas is pulling off all these effects from. It could have been a good episode, but I think they really dropped the ball on this one. Another thing that irks me here is I do not get Nostradamus' plan. So he got all the money from the members, I get that. But then he kidnaps the Clarks, and he plans to blow them up. But what about the other members? Like, I'm sure that they can get some sort of legal action against this guy. Just because Ethan Clark signed the contract does not mean that this other guy gets to keep everything legally. I mean, for example, if some guy came into your house and pointed a gun at your head and said, if you don't sign here, I'm going to kill you and your kids. So sign over this deed to your house and your car. And then you sign it, and then he leaves. I'm sure he can't just legally come and move into your house and use your car since you signed that under duress. I'm sure that's a law. Like, I'm not a big fancy city lawyer. Oh, it's true. It's true. But I'm pretty sure that's a law somewhere. And also, Nostradamus was going to be the main suspect in the murder of, like, a millionaire and his daughter. They died at his place, that planetarium that was his church or whatever it was. He's the one that got away, like, with all the money. And, like, they're going to try to find out how is it that he got Ethan Clark's signature the day before he died, or like on the day he died. That's going to be very suspicious. And don't give me like, oh, well, he got the that signature is in like an iPad. This isn't automatic. He had to have gone to the bank or wherever they're holding this money and asked for it. So I'm pretty sure they would have been very suspicious, the bank, about this like old dude with a criminal record asking for, like, I think Batman mentions in the episode that there's 30 to 65. I'm sorry. Batman mentions there's already $30 million in the fund. And later on in the episode, Nostradamus himself mentions that the fund is already at $65 million. So I'm pretty sure the bank is going to be wondering why this old man is trying to pull $65 million or trying to use those $65 million to buy gold. That just came out of nowhere. So, all right, I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm done.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, the Batcave Archives. This is where we rank each episode that we have reviewed thus far. And if you want to read the entire list, you can go to our Facebook group. Look for I'm Batman, the podcast, where I post and update the Batcave Archives each and every week. It is the, what do you call it in Facebook when you make a post and you like pin it, I guess. The pinned post where you could look at. That's where you will find the list. And I'll read a brief, at least the first and last spots here, because we do have 22 episodes with this one, so it is a long list just to read. At number one, we'd have Heart of Ice, the Mr. Freeze story, with Two-Face Part 1 at number 2. And I mentioned number 1 and 2 because Two-Face was so very close to taking the top spot. If it had not been split into two episodes, I guarantee you that would have been number 1 above all. But the fact that it was split into two episodes, so we only get half of a story in each episode, kind of brought it down. But those are our number ones. And at last place, we have I've Got Batman in My Basement. That is at number 21. Now, I know when that episode was reviewed, I really hated it and I ranted and raved. But the thing is, that episode, it's silly, it's dumb, it's probably one of the worst episodes of the series, but at least it got something out of you. If it made you hate it, at least you got emotion out of it. The problem with this episode is that it is just very bland and forgettable. This episode just needs to rank low, like bottom of the list. It is very, very, very forgettable. I guarantee that more than half of you listening didn't remember this episode by title alone, and still had a hard time just picturing the villain or anything worthy to remember once you knew which episode it was. So for that reason, I'm going to rank this episode in last place. Prophecy of Doom will be at number 22. It's very bland and forgettable. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Now, I just want to point out some things for you to remember before we go. Everybody, be sure to go to the Facebook group, I'm Batman the Podcast. Be sure to join. We're having a pretty good community. We got quite a lot of new members. Thank you, everybody, who has been going to the page and joining. I really do appreciate that. As you can see, we will post silly stuff or maybe some fun facts about the episode, but it's always a good place to be at. I am still holding, it's not too late to enter the contest for the Batman cereal box that is stuffed with stuff. I'm gonna stuff that box, so if you really want kind of just the box, I'm sorry, it might be a little warped because I'm about to put so much stuff in there. Anything Batman related that I could fit in there. Hand painted tote bags, which if you go to our group, you can see the picture. Hand painted, I made it myself. All as many Batman the Animated Series villains as I could fit into it. I think it looks great, but I did it myself. So hey, don't take my word for it. As Lamar Burden used to say, Batman hats that again. Hand-painted, custom-made vinyl figures, comic books. Batman and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover issue 1 is in that box. I guarantee you it's in that box. We got some fun Batman and Superman stickers in that box. Anything I could fit in there. It's still not too late to join. If you join the I'm Batman the Podcast group, you will automatically be entered. If you don't want to join the group or you don't have Facebook but you still want to enter the contest, email me at captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. Let me know your name. Let me know where you're from. Next week's episode, I will read out the list of names of all the entrants. So this is if you have to join by next Friday. If you are not part of the group or you haven't emailed me by next Friday, I apologize. You're not going to be in the running because next Friday I will read all the people entered. And the week after that, the episode of July 1st, I will draw out a name from a hat just randomly. Throw all the names in a hat, pull them out, and that's going to be your winner. Now, it's not set in stone yet, but on that episode, the July 1st episode, I want to do a live episode. I'm probably going to stream it on Facebook. I don't know if many of you have... I don't even know if it's a thing. I know I used to do streaming on Stitch back in the day when I used to do my wrestling podcast. Honestly, I haven't used it in years. I don't know if it's still a thing. I always do Skype as well. So I could open up a Skype group. If you want to join, let me know. I could open that up and then people could join and join in the conversations, put in live posts and what have you. But as I said, I'm going to do it on Facebook, I think. As I said, not everything set in stone. Hopefully Candy will be a guest on that, as well as Mr. Mutant Larry. We're going to have to check our schedules and plan something ahead. But on that episode, July 1st episode, I would draw out the winner. And also, it's going to be a very special episode because I'm not going to be reviewing the episode of Batman the Animated Series that corresponds to that week. No, instead, I'm going to give you all you listeners a special treat, as I will be writing a review of Batman, the 1966 theatrical release starring Adam West and Burt Ward. Now, that is a really, really fun movie. I love it. Very colorful, very silly, but I think it's a great film. So I'm going to be reviewing that. At the end of the review, I will be drawing out the name of the winner of the box stuffed with stuff. So I hope all of you listening are motivated to join the group, email me, be part of all the fun, join us for that live episode. So if you have any thoughts on the episode being reviewed or on the show itself, questions, suggestions, anything that just pops up to your mind, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. And now when I say that, maybe some people get confused. It's captain_marvelous, then the number one, not O-N-E, but the actual number one at yahoo.com. So everybody, thank you for joining me. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are,
I see a bad moon rising.